It's Friday, September 7th, and you're listening to the 300th edition of the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Welcome, everybody, to a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How are you? Are you ready for a great show? I'm ready to give you a great show. I'm telling you what, I'm really, really jazzed about this 300 show. It is quite the crossroads because I'm hitting show 300 and at the same time, my very last day on the job in the United States Navy is today. So I'm pretty excited. Lots of transitions going on, and we'll be talking more about the Navy stuff later on. But wow. Hey, I want to thank all of you that have been long-term subscribers to the show for being part of the Ohana. I want to thank you for being part of the extended family here and sending all the thousands upon thousands of comments, the hundreds and hundreds of voicemails, the instant message, words of encouragement. It's just been terrific, the support that you all have extended to me over these past essentially 3 years. We'll be 3 years here in a couple of weeks. But I tell you, I really, really could not have done this show to the level that the show has been done all this time without the support and the love and devotion of my family. They have, wow, you know, it is a big, big job. This show I produce, I get done with dinner generally, spend a little time with the kids, but don't have too much time to really, you know, to sit down and enjoy with them because I have to come right up here Mondays and Thursday nights and get ready, you know, to start putting the show together. And they're in and out, and normally I'm signing homework and reviewing homework while at the same time I'm putting the show together. But really, our life has revolved around this show being produced Mondays and Thursdays. It's just, you know, it's part of our routine now. And for 3 years, you know, this has been the operatus mundi, I guess, is how you want to say it. I don't know if I said that right, but they've been just terrific supporters. And of course, my wife, I want to thank her and the kids and, you know, and really, too, the job that I'm in now, my day job that I'm about ready to leave, has allowed me to be able to do this job with, show with some consistency as well, because prior to about, when I started doing the show in October of 2004, I was still on what is deemed sea duty. And I was being, you know, essentially sent on the road a lot. Now, my situation had changed a little bit because in July of 2004, I got hurt pretty badly with a back injury. And actually, June of 2004, excuse me. And that really laid me up and it changed things considerably, which really led to me sitting in a hotel room in Waco, Texas, of all places, and it was, you know, one of those nights I'm online, I'm surfing, and made me find out and read about this new thing called podcasting, and I really got excited. I mean, from the very get-go, I thought, gosh, here I've got a blog, let's go get some, you know, whatever gear I need to get, I'm going to go get it. And quite literally, I left the hotel room and went across the street. I was staying at a Hampton Inn and went across the street to where there was a Walmart. And I went in and picked up a $695 Labtec headset. Matter of fact, the other day, my 3-year-old was wearing that headset around here. And somehow the little plastic tabs on the ear had gotten chewed off or something. I don't know what happened to it, but he was having a lot of fun with it. And I kind of had to laugh because I said, you know, there's that little Lab Tech headset that I started doing the show with. Now, let me give you a little sample. This, I don't know exactly what happened to the audio of that day because I know that I played some non-pod safe music in the beginning as the intro, and I think I went back later at some point and cut that stuff out because I was, you know, I was worried about the RIAA coming after me. And I'm just going to this is the segment that it starts, and I just listen to the difference in audio quality. And this was the number one show sitting in my hotel room on October 12th, 2004. And maybe I'll just play 35, 45 seconds, maybe a minute. So check this out.
I know a lot of people have been affected by the outage, and hopefully they can get their act together and won't have this problem in the future. Microsoft released some time-critical updates today. So if you have not done a Windows update, be sure to get out there and pick up the new patches that they've got out. You know, this is a never-ending battle. I think Microsoft probably could do a little better job in getting these patches out quicker. You know, they've got...
Well, anyway, pretty common topic that we talk about here from time to time, right? Well, that was right in show number one in October of 2004. And boy, oh boy, what a ride we've been on since then. But I'll get into that ride a little bit. We got a lot of great content for you tonight. Or I have a lot of great content for you tonight in tech news and stuff. So we're going to get into that. Going to take a little bit of trip down history lane as well. But if you're checking out, that cold is still here. And I'm feeling much better. Thank you very much for those of you that sent get well cards and little notices and stuff. I appreciate it. But for those of you checking out the show for the first time, make sure you get over to Geek News Central. Check out all the great content on the blog. Go back and listen to some of those archive podcasts via the podcast link. And, you know, become part of the Ohana here. Sign up for the newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And that way you have, you know, the sequence of events that happen, and you'll be able to visit all the sites that I talk about. But getting back a little bit to the history here, things just, I mean, it really exploded. It really, really did. Show number one, October 2004. And for the first 3 to 4 months, we were the traffic went, I mean, it went straight up, and bandwidth became an issue. I had to put in place within about 2 weeks the ability to deliver 3 to 4 terabytes of traffic per month on shared hosting accounts. And I used companies like Bluehost, who else? Several other companies we used, and they were really the lifeline. I would publish a show 1 week on one hosting service, and next week I would post it on another because the traffic would get burned up in one show. It would burn through my entire bandwidth allotment. Those first few months were a lot of fun, and it was challenging, but it was exciting. It really, really was. In December of 2004, we formed the Tech Podcast Network. Andy McCaskey was on there, Chuck Tomasi, Adrian Bacon, some of the very hardcore crew that's still at Tech Podcast, which were originally called affiliates, the ones that were kind of like the founders of Tech Podcast. They were the core group that got started, and a lot of those guys are still the core group today. And we put that website together. I was a co-founder of that. That actually, Tech Podcast was not completely my idea. It was two of us that came up with the idea on it. And then right amongst that time, there was the time when Wiley Publishing was courting me to do the book on podcasting. And January of 2005, I signed a contract and wrote essentially straight through to have the book done by April of 2005. And, you know, think about it. October of 2004, never heard about podcasting. January of 2005, I'm writing a book on it. Got done writing like on April 9th. The book was published in May of 2005. and sold unbelievable number of copies. It really, really sold well. In amongst the time, we were getting ready to announce the book deal on the show, and I think that actually happened on show number 69. If you want to go back and listen to a show that actually cost me about 1,000 listeners of the show, 1,000 of you unsubscribed that show. I announced the book that in that show and immediately lost 1,000 listeners. I was devastated, but I look back upon it now and I laugh. But GoDaddy came on board as a sponsor, and this show was, as near as I could tell, one of the first truly long-term sponsored shows. And of course, I was the person that brought GoDaddy into the podcasting space. Of course, they continue to be, 3 years later, they are still the primary sponsor of this show. I'm going to tell you, folks, that company, you know, some people, you know, may, you know, they, I see some podcasters talking about GoDaddy, maybe not in a 100% positive way, but they really, really listen. I had had some problems with them and had bashed them pretty hard. If you go back to my blog and look at some entries that I had when I went to a shared hosting account with them or a virtual dedicated server. I'd had some issues, and they were very gracious. They worked with me. They got things squared around and fixed, and they were just super. And here they are, 3 years later. They're still in the space. They're advertising on lots and lots of shows. And, folks, they have dumped a lot of money into the podcasting space in advertising. And there's a lot of podcasters today that are making a lot of dollars with GoDaddy because, well, GoDaddy's getting good return on their investment. And, of course, we hope that you'll support GoDaddy as our primary sponsor here when you're picking up a domain or a hosting account. And don't forget that famous promo code TODD. TODD will save you 10% on your orders when you check out. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders of $20 or more. And I really want to thank GoDaddy for being here for the long haul. I definitely appreciate it. Well, around that same time, Citrix and GoToMeeting jumped in on the space in June of 2005. And they were actually advertising with another single show within Tech Podcast. He introduced the Citrix folks to me. I did a deal with them where we actually signed the entire Tech Podcast Network. That was the first network deal. And here they are, you know, 2 years, excuse me, not 4 years, because it's been only 2 years, but both GoDaddy and GoToMeeting have been advertising in the space. And we've had great success with the roundtables that we have with, 30 to 35,000 people watch the roundtable every month. Not that many attend the live event, of course, because we do have limited in seating, but they've seen considerable ROI come from these events, and you've been able to see how we've used the product by having, you know, sharing, interacting with different people and what we do. But it's a versatile tool that I continue to use every day, and again, they've been a very hard and fast, steady spot within at least my part of the podcasting space, and I want to thank them, of course, too, for being continued sponsors here and, of course, over at techpodcast.com. And that's why you can try GoToMeeting for free by going to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast and you get a free 30-day trial. Now, the advertising aside, in May, June of that same time frame, I started to see some things that when we initially developed Tech Podcast, we kind of developed it kind of as a co-op. And quite frankly, it was at the time, it was me doing a lot of stuff, and, you know, as I was trying to run it and be the Indian at the same time, and it was tough. It really, really was. And I needed some more help, and I wanted to go on and do some more stuff, but really just didn't have the cohesiveness over there to do that. And that's when I reached out in this show to look for some people, and the people that formed Raw Voice came from this audience. And I sat down and had a series of meetings, and we brainstormed and came up with the idea of Podcaster News, put that website together. That site today gets a tremendous amount of traffic, and a lot of people that are over there that are hosting have been there a long time. We provide hosting for them. It's a short show format. There are a couple of shows over there that are long format, but it's been a mainstay of Raw Voices' portfolio, and it's done very, very well. Around the same time, around July of 2005, I started setting up and getting ready, and we had the first annual podcast awards at podcastawards.com, and then we made a deal with Trekker Tom, and we were able to get podcastpromos.com converted into the site that it is today. And again, another site that gets a huge amount of traffic. Well, we had our nose to the grindstone, working pretty hard. You all were in this show, and then we hit show 100. And show 100, let me play a little bit of the beginning of show 100. And maybe those of you that have been around for a little while will remember this intro. And I think you'll get a little smile out of it. So strap in. Here comes the show 100 intro.
You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii. Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central.
It's Sunday, September 8th. Now, that was when I was still re-recording the show on Sunday nights. So, you know, there was a shift done between in 2005, 2006, where the show went to Monday night for me recording, releasing Tuesday morning. But I'm sure some of you remember that intro from way back. And gosh, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago. It really, really, really doesn't. But moving fast forward here, July 2006, we launched Blueberry.com at Gnomedex. And that site has been a tremendous success for us. And we continue to build out the services that we're offering over there. We're going to have a lot more to announce at Podcast Expo. Well, you know, the show 200 was, as many of you were in anticipation of show 200, turned out to be a show that, it was a tribute show to my father, because show 200, the day that it was supposed to be recorded was the day that my father died. And we immediately flew out. I'd left a short, short memo to everybody what was going on. And then when we came back, I actually did show 200 a couple of weeks later. But since that point, boy, it's just been busy, 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 busy. And here we are. We are now, essentially it's September 7th, 2007, and we are at show 300. And again, a crossroads for me, and things are about to change dramatically here. And while this show will not change and the show will continue to go on, definitely some aspects of my life are going to change, and my family's too, for what we're, you know, what the future holds for us. But all along, you all have been here. Many of you have been strong, strong supporters of the show for a very, very long time. And you know, if you're listening to the show for the first time today, or if you have been here since show number one, really, from the bottom of my heart, thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family. Even though I love doing the show, I couldn't do it without you guys. You know, if you guys weren't here and providing the great feedback, it would be tough. You know, you guys are the most engaged audience. You really, really are. You know, I get more voicemails and more email comments most of the time than I can read. And it really makes me happy to be able to put the show together for you. And I want to thank you for being here for us. And anyway, I've talked enough on that. If you have a memorable moment from the past 300 shows, I'd love to hear what your most memorable moment was, if you can remember that. And send me, a voicemail, 619-342-7365. Email to geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, we'll carry it in the next show. But I got some tech content for you tonight as well. I'm hoping that the next coming weeks, we'll, we're going to have fun together. We are, because I'm going to be kind of on work/vacation/getting ready for Expo. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of things are upcoming, and we'll keep you advised. Are you coming out to Ontario? If you're coming out to Ontario, I'm going to put some links up in the show notes tonight. That'll get you some links to some, I don't have any geek newswear. I need to get some geek newswear put together. But I do have some blueberry wear, some podcaster newswear. I have tech podcast wear. So I have some links up to that if you guys want to show your support. You can do it that way, of course, as well. But look forward to seeing all of you that are coming out to the Podcast and New Media Expo in Ontario at the end of this month. And we'll have a lot of fun. You'll be able to come up to our hospitality room and have a cocktail and a little poo-poo foods on me. But anyway, let's move into – I'm sitting here and I'm expanding on I don't know what. So let's move on and get into the tech, because it has been a very exciting tech week. And wow, Apple, my goodness, I have to really admit that I'm kind of torn, really, because the new iPod Touch, it looks really cool. It really, really does. And I'll be straight up, I've already pre-ordered one. And I really am hoping that what they have released right now is just kind of like phase one, because there's so much they could do. You know, I've talked for a long, long time that any media device that comes out that has Wi-Fi built in, that you can download and get podcasts to it essentially automatically and undocked from a docking station, that's where we got to head. And this is the first step. Now, I think Microsoft, and I've been really kind of watching what's going on with Microsoft as well, and I actually found some interesting comments just by doing some searches for Zoom, podcasts, different types of things, because I'm always looking for undercurrent information people are talking about. And I found an actual very interesting post on a certain Microsoft's executive's LinkedIn account that really kind of show where Microsoft is going. I really think that the new Zoom, or may hopefully the one that's being, you know, the new upgrade will have the version one of the Zoom will have these features as well. But I think Microsoft is about to jump into the podcasting space in a big, big way. Now, I'm going to kind of guess it's probably going to be with their Christmas release of the new updated Zoom. So we'll see what happens here, but I'm going to try to dig some more information out when we go out to Expo. Don't know if I'm going to be able to get any of that information or not. I might have to sign the NDA. I don't care, but we want to be ready for it. And of course, with this new iPod Touch, I put a bounty up on my website, basically saying the first person that comes with an application that is open source, has the features that I'm looking for, that can be uploaded into and installed on the iPod Touch, I got $1,000 for them. And I will write a check and give it to the person that develops essentially a podcatcher for the iPod Touch. It's really too bad. And I think Robert Scoble on his blog today was, you know, as critical of Apple as anyone out there, saying, all right, you kind of hosed us over by lowering the price of the iPhone by $200. Excuse me, I'm sorry. You kind of hosed us over by reducing the price. We feel hurt. Jobs has come out and said, okay, we're going to give you $100 back and some sort of a coupon or whatever that you can spend in the Apple store or online. And while that may soothe the iPhone people over, essentially Robert says, hey, you know, give us an SDK that we can write apps to, open this thing up, come on, do the right thing. Well, they're not going to. They're not going to do that voluntarily, because there's just too much money in having to do licensing deals with Apple, paying them big, big bucks to have a little icon on that device's window. And what do you think Starbucks paid? What do you think they paid Microsoft? I mean, Apple, geez. How much do you think they paid them? I bet you they paid them millions of dollars for that partnership and that right to have that Starbucks logo on that phone. You know, ties into their music store and do all kinds of stuff. You know, give us, you know, I love music just like the next person. But give us a device. Someone, give us a device that has a podcatcher built in that's standalone, that is, you know, not locked into their own playlist. Let's have a device. Let's have an application which doesn't serve the needs of a few, but is built in such a way that every podcaster that's out there can build a little playlist for people. And if you want to, you know, subscribe to it or whatever, you can make it open and so that everyone gets advantage equally across the board, instead of making me go to the iTunes podcasting section and seeing commercial podcasts dominate 99% of the application. Apple has done more to hurt podcasting than they have to help it, be quite honest with you. Prior to July of 2005, when iTunes was upgraded so that you could get podcasts downloaded through it, you know, the directory was primary just new media. It's people like me that create shows. And then little by little, the commercial jump overs got into it, which you would expect, but they never made a dividing wall. You know, they never put a wall up and said, all right, NBC, CBS, CNN, all you guys are over here. And on the other side, all the new media people are on this side. Now, I'm sure there's a blurring of lines there and people complain, and you know, how can you differentiate one from the other? Well, you can't. But Apple didn't do that. And it's not, you know, it's not financially viable for Apple to do that. You know, it really, really isn't. And so this iPod Touch, I'm going to keep calling it the iPhone Touch now for some reason. We don't know the extent of the podcasting support. But I want an exclusive application that will run on it. And, you know, if someone meets those conditions and can, you know, work it in so it can be uploaded, you know, like I said, I got $1,000 for them. And I'm going to buy one. And if the Zune comes out and has a Wi-Fi enabled podcatcher, I'm going to buy that. Just because I will. I'm going to support, you know, app. You know, we're talking about maybe the Google phone now coming out. We'll see. But really, this iPod Touch has given me the excuse not to have to buy an iPod or an iPhone, because essentially everything is going to be there to a certain extent. And I got a browser, so even though it's quote-unquote Safari, you know, it's a browser on the device. And I know Wi-Fi is not as prevalent everywhere, but where I'm going to be for the next 2 or 3 years, I'm going to have plenty of Wi-Fi available to use it. So what do you guys think? What do you think about the iPod Touch? You're going to buy one? What do you hope they do to it? Do you think Apple will ever open it up? I don't think so, personally. But lots of conversation. Boy, I mean, that is what's dominated for the last couple of days. And we will see. We'll see where it goes. And hopefully I'll have one here before Expo. I've got my team at Raw Voice really engaged, looking at where we need to be with our product line to make sure that we support it the best way we can, so that when people come over to blueberry.com and they want to listen to content on the iPod Touch through Safari, or if they want to download stuff into it, that we are definitely ready to support people that have the device, so that we can continue to push forward new media content via that website without the biasing stuff that goes on other websites, and making sure that everyone has a viable first shot at being, you know, have exposure whenever people visit the website. But anyway, I'm sure we're going to see a lot more on this. I'm sure, boy, it's very interesting they're offering. And, you know, there are some, you know, a lot of people out there are not, you know, they're saying this endless upgrade cycle. You know, they bring out new products to make people go buy them again and again and again. But I think that I wouldn't have bought it if they just upgraded the iPod line. But the iPod Touch, I think, was enough to make me to act and to go ahead and upgrade and buy the device. My wife's going to be happy because she's going to get my iPod Video. She's already said, oh, can you load some stuff on there that I like, Kevin? I'm like, well, sure. We can set up whatever you want. And so she's already built me a little list of stuff she wants me to have subscribed for her to go on that. And she's already asking for it. Now, I want it now. I'm like, well, honey, you have to wait. The other one isn't in yet. And the kids are excited because now they're all trying to figure out how they're going to share the old one that I've got, like the Gen 1 or whatever it is. So, what a problem to have, right? Okay. Over on TechCrunch, they've got a exclusive review of screenshots of the new Delicious 2.0. And it's going to come on. They're going to be relaunching the site at actually delicious.com. It's not going to be how it used to be spelled. It's going to be DELICIOUS.com. So again, it's one of those real easy words to spell. You know, I'm sure, a lot of people I hope they bought up all the derivatives of delicious, because I know people are going to really wag that when they put it in. Heck, I had a hard time remembering the other site. Okay, where do I put the period? So, look forward to that new site coming out. Okay. Of course, and if you did buy an iPhone, you're like I said earlier, you're going to get your $100. Steve Jobs put out a little letter saying, oh, we're sorry, we hurt everyone's feelings. And I'm sure some of you that have one already are real happy that you're going to be able to get the refund. All right, Google Reader. Wow. I'm starting to use Google Reader quite a bit. And they added search to it today. And, this is good. Thank you, Google, for putting a search box in Google Reader. The power in this is going to be significant. It's going to change the way I use the application quite a little bit. Now, I haven't, because I was out all day, believe it or not, I was golfing. We had a fundraiser today. Every year at this time of year, there's a special things that happen with people that have been selected for chief petty officer. And today they had a fundraiser and had a golf X. A little secret here. It's been many years since I swung a golf club. So when I went into the event, I told everybody, I says, my goal today is to leave here with a high score. And luckily, I was with a team. It was best ball. And I totally humiliated myself. But, you know, there's always that guy that's playing golf that is the crappy one that everyone grins to bear and deal with. And luckily, I had a very accommodating group. And I did get most of my tee offs past the ladies' tee. Oh, I am terrible. I should have went to the driving range and really whacked about 200 golf balls, because I had not, quite honestly, I had not swung a club in many years prior to walking up to the first green and taking a whack at a golf ball. It is a sport that I must say, if it was not for the fundraising, I probably would not participate too much in. 4 hours on the golf course, chasing that little white ball around was fun for a day, but my frustration level, if I had to be out there, not with a group of guys doing best ball, where I, you know, instead of, you know, taking 20 whacks at it to get to the green, where we took the normal, you know, par, bogey, or whatever it was to get to the green, because everyone else could actually hit the doggone thing. But anyway, that's what I spent most of the day doing. So I didn't get a lot of chance to dig in too deep on this. But raised a lot of money, had a lot of fun, and a little bit of sunburn, not bad at all. But still got my cold, though. That's the thing, it's hanging out. So check out the new Google Reader. and let me know what you think about it. DownloadSquad.com is reporting Windows Live Writer Beta 3 is making blogging easier. Well, I have been using BlogJet as my external editor for a long, long time. And I definitely am going to be checking out what they have done here with Windows Live Writer Beta 3. So if you are, you know, looking for a new external tool to use in your blogging, this may be the application for you. One thing to watch out for, though, when you're installing it, is that Microsoft really tries to cram the Windows Live service down your throat when you install Live Writer. So even if you download the standalone installer, a window pop-up will come up during the installation asking if you would like to add Windows Live Messenger, Mail, Toolbar, and all the other applications. If the answer is, you know, you probably don't want to add all that stuff. If this is just what you want to play around with. If you do, a fair warning, it's going to add some overhead to some of the applications. But at least you get a chance to play around with this. Windows Live Writer Beta 3. Okay, I'm actually going in the opposite direction today in FeedView, and I don't know how I end up doing that. I've got a couple of articles on blogging, blog design, and how it affects subscriptions to RSS feeds. I'll have that link up in the show notes. For those of you that are TiVo users, if you have a HD TiVo, TiVo To Go and multi-room viewing is coming to the HD TiVo in November. So finally, the Series 3, the TiVo HD are finally going to catch up to their SD siblings and get upgraded with the most highly anticipated TiVo features. So I think this is good. It really, really is. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, TiVo's had a lot of challenges to overcome with this, primarily because of the, you know, not wanting cable car, not wanting people to have the ability to transfer shows to a PC between a TiVo. And so that's been somewhat of a challenge in this. Those of you that are HD TiVo owners, you probably know a lot more about the subject than I do. But what do you think this is going to do to your viewing capability with your HD TiVo? Is it going to help? Is it going to make the viewing experience better? Are you going to be able to, you know, store stuff now on your hard drive? Where does this, you know, for those of you that are out there have one of these, I'd love to hear from you on, you know, what this is really going to mean. Is it going to improve the user experience considerably, or will whatever limitations they have built into it kind of negate some of the things that, you know, the positive things that they've done? This next article that I'm going to talk about is one that, quite sadly, I know is probably very, very true for many of you. And basically what they've got in this article, what attracted me to it, was a picture. And the picture shows the back of a laptop with a white LAN cable plugged into the laptop with another LAN cable sitting right beside. You thought, why is there two LAN cables next to a single computer? Are they swapping those out? Why would they swap them out? Well, I want to read the first paragraph of this. It says, on my desk at work, I have two Ethernet cables. One is black and one is white. The black one is connected to our corporate network. I use that one when I want to print things. I could also use it for internet access and stuff, but I don't because the corporate network blocks a number of ports, including those used for Skype and other applications. It's also pretty slow. The white cable, meanwhile, is a standard consumer-grade DSL connection to the internet with nothing blocked at all. Our local IT staff installed it by popular demand, possibly without checking with headquarters. We love our local IT staff. It's fast. I use it all the time. You know, today's world is such that connectivity and availability of connectivity is changing the landscape and way people get on the internet at work and at home. Because, you know, for many, many years, I've been on a network where I couldn't do anything. Could not do anything. And a lot of times people would talk about, wow, how could we get different connectivity in here? Well, you couldn't. It couldn't be done. And while I see this this picture, and just because it makes me laugh, it really does, because it just goes to show you that even though a corporation may have very strict computing rules, they're not always the best for user and usability. Now, something can be said about having tight rules, depending on what, if you work in the banking industry, if you work in the energy, if you work in any type of governmental position, you know, there's obviously very strict rules to how computers can be hooked up and what they can't be hooked up to. You know, I can't even imagine, to be honest with you, I can't even imagine hooking a different type of network cable up to my computer at work. Oh my gosh. I can't even contemplate it. I really can't. It would not be good. But in the civilian world, you know, this can happen. How many of you are faced with this type of a challenge at work where your local connectivity is locked down so tight that it reduces productivity? You know, there's many times, you know, and I'm not saying people are just using the net to goof off, okay? Because they shouldn't be. If they're, you know, working for an employer, they need to be putting their time in and, you know, not going and hanging out on social networks and Facebook and different stuff during the day. You know, they need to be putting their time in. That's only fair. You're getting a paycheck. But at the same point, there, I find many times if I have a question about something and I don't know the answer, oh, Google and put in, you know, the question in Google. In a couple of minutes, maybe I found a resource. I could pick up the telephone and call somebody, a company, order a part, you name it. But when corporate networks are so tied down and so tight and so restrictive, it really causes more work than many times what it's worth. So I think this there's definitely a divide out there in the haves and have-nots. What does your corporation do? Does it lock it down? Now, I know the government people. I know you're all locked down. You know, that's a given, okay? You guys don't even need to. We all should assume you're locked down. And if you're not, that's scary. But, you know, what does your corporations do? Do you sign your life away when you go to work for them? Do they say if you're caught on this particular site, you could be fired? Or do they just, you know, they just block access where you can't get access to stuff? So this is so true. This is such a paradigm that I think many of you will be like, you'll shake your head like, yes, this is what happens in my office. All right. Contact Office launches new version of Web Office Tool. And I don't know if I talked about this on a prior show. I thought this info had come out before. Maybe I talked about it. Maybe I'll just skim over this here real quick. But if any of you use Contact Office, looks like a pretty cool online contact form. I haven't spent any time using this application before. If you have, I'd love to hear what you think about it. But anyway, Contact Office has a new version of Web Office Tool available online. Oh, here's just a little point of interest for you. When, you know, immediately the blog sphere yesterday just went nuts when Apple reduced the price of the iPhone. Well, this morning, a little bit of a cat fight going on. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of Google AdSense ads that were up and running when people would Google for iPhone price drop. First ad says, "Congrats, late adopters. iPhone drops $200. Now you get all the iPhone for 2/3 of the price." And the link goes to store.apple.com. You know, that you see someone, if you bought an iPod at full price, you see that, that's like going to rub dirt in your face, right? Well, the ad right below it says, "Sorry, early adopters, iPhone drops $200. Salvage yours with free content at Mosh, mosh.nokia.com. So, adding insult, you know, the Nokia folks said, okay, we're sorry. You're sorry that you kind of got hosed over, but come over to mosh.nokia.com, check out our great content. And then Apple were like, oh, sorry, if you're a late adopter, you know, now you can get $200 off. Shouldn't that be the other way around? Early adopters get $200 off and people that wait later get charged more? it makes sense to me, I guess. All right, in very disturbing, this is probably the story of the day here. In all honesty, you really all need to sit up, pay attention, turn the volume up a little bit. Look at your iPod, whatever it takes. I want you to really listen to this. The Justice Department today said internet service providers should, I repeat, should be allowed to charge a fee for priority web traffic. The agency told the Federal Communications Commission, which is reviewing high-speed internet practices, that it is opposed, I'm saying this again, opposed to net neutrality. The principle that all internet sites should be equally accessible to any web user. So here you go. You've got AT&T, Verizon, and Comcast have said before, oh, we want to be able to charge more for some traffic. And the Justice Department has said today they should be allowed to do that. You know, this is not good. This could be significantly impacting. Ring, ring. Hello. Yes, Mr. Cochran, this is AT&T. Oh, hello. How are you? What can I do for you? We noticed that Blueberry.com is using a lot of traffic through our website, and we would like to offer you a high-speed access into our system. Oh, really? Why, yes. You can pay us $5,000 a month to guarantee your traffic comes into our network at a much faster speed. No, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay that. Well, you do know that you will be on our slower lane, don't you? Which means you'll have your users will have a slower experience, don't you? Don't you want to get in the high speed and not be in the slow lane? I'm going to tell you, that's what's coming. It's going to be like the guy knocking on your door. Hey, hey. Let me in. Give me $500. Well, why? I'm going to protect your house. Make sure it doesn't get burnt down. And I'm not trying to, if anyone took offense to that, please, I'm just play acting here. You know, this could turn into extortion. It could turn into a point where companies that, it could be any company, could be, you know, they could come in and strong arm them. Oh, we won't do that. We promised because we have, you know, we've joined with Bell South and took over them and made them part of our family again here at AT&T that we're not going to we're going to stand behind network neutrality. Whatever. What do you guys think about this? Do you think this is good news? Do you think that AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, and other companies like that are going to go out and have the option now to charge some users being companies, more money for loading certain content on the web? I'm telling you, we need to get this 700 megahertz spectrum. You know, there ought to be a coalition of people that, you know, across this country that pool our money together and raise billions and billions of dollars and buy up a segment of that spectrum and open it up and have it open for ourselves. Because we need to free ourselves from AT&T, Verizon, Comcast. Until we are freed from them, there will be no true additional innovation in the space when innovation can be essentially extorted upon to make sure that you pay more money to have a fast track through their network. So we'll see what happens with this. This is on WashingtonPost.com. Really love to hear your feedback on this. And boy, I don't know. Time will tell. We'll see how the FCC reacts and whether or not they make any changes. Okay, Let's go into a little space news. The International Space Station crew relocated a docking adapter. They didn't have to go on a spacewalk. They've got these like electric bolts. I'd like to see some of these sometime. If anybody finds a link to one of these electronic bolts that actually unscrew itself automatically, I'd love to see an engineering drawing for one of these. But anyway, they were able to take this docking station and unbolt this thing automatically. And then they used the arm to move it around. This is in preparation for, or they actually moved it up. They moved it for the Harmony docking node, which will be attached there temporarily during STS-120 in a mission coming up in October, before moving to its permanent location next to the Destiny Lab module. So International Space Station crew getting ready for more expansion and continuing to work. I did hear, and I haven't went over to the JPL website recently, but I heard that the Mars rovers are back up and doing science. They survived the majority of the sandstorm. They were only getting charged to like 30% of what they were before, but they are alive and kicking and moving out there. Now, speaking of Mars, the Phoenix Mars mission has passed some early tests. If you remember, the spacecraft was launched just over a month ago and has passed a series of in-flight tests, and the project officials are pretty happy. The spacecraft landing radar, UHR radio, completed a series of checkout tests, and no problems are reported. And there's also a couple of more items that they've got to get through that they'll have finalized by mid-October. But it looks like the Phoenix is on track to land, wow, on Mars May 25th of 2008. So we get a little bit of a wait for this, but not that far away in the scheme of things. Okay, some good stuff on Wired about the some mistakes Apple did. We'll have that linked up in the show notes. Those of you that have been playing around with Silverlight, the Silverlight plugin is out of beta, and they're promising Linux compatibility soon. So this is some information coming out of Microsoft. And analysts are reporting to Computer World, at least, that they are really, really excited about having Safari on the iPod Touch. And I think their analysis is that a lot of people are going to buy this particular device because it's unhindered from AT&T. And I will agree with that assessment. Excuse me. Okay, Facebook. If you're a Facebook user, you're definitely going to want to get over. And they are opening up some profiles to public, meaning that your portion of your profile will be able to be searched and indexed. So you need to get over there, and they've got a way to be able to close that out so that that is not possible. So if you're a Facebook user, you'll want to do that. I'll have the link up to that in the show notes out of BBC. And tonight I'm going to wrap this up with our good friends at the RIAA. The RIAA sent they've been owing a lawyer $68,685 for attorney's fees and on the judgment that went against them in the case of Capital versus Foster. But it appears that the RIAA is still trying to snub their nose a little bit here. Even though they've sent the check that they were supposed to, they failed to follow the attorney's payment instructions, and they failed to include the interest that had occurred on the judgment. So the attorney is going to go back and go to the judge and making sure that the RIAA follows the instructions completely. And the RIAA is already saying, no, we've complied. What's very surprising here is that it's highly unusual for a judgment debtor's attorney not to follow the judgment creditor's attorney's payment instructions. This was a subnote on the article over at Recording Industry versus people.blogspot.com. And It is kind of odd, and it just looks like they continue to thumb their nose a little bit. But I hope a judge pushes back a little bit, and hopefully they have to pay a lot more money You know, pay interest on the interest now. All right. Wow, 54 minutes. Where are we at here? Let me get I got some voicemail comments for us. And, hey, we've got one thing I got to do is I got to give let me load this up. Let me do this before we get into the comments. The last show, at the end of the last show, I announced how we were going to give out an award, and it essentially is a cash award to a charity. I had asked everyone to send in their the different types of charities that they like. I went through, and we probably got, 60 or 70 charities that most 60 or 70 entries, but there were only about a dozen charities in the list. So what I've done here is I've got the charities listed, and I've got a randomizer, and I'm going to go ahead and I've got basically this set up. Let me actually set it up. Put the info in. Okay. Let me go ahead and hit randomize, and it's number 4. Well, that's an easy one. So what we're going to do, and let me go back, and there was a number of people that had suggested this, probably too many to mention, but I'm going to go ahead and give a $500 donation to the American Red Cross on behalf of the listeners. I get the list of the listeners that, had recommended the American Red Cross in the show notes. I get that listed up. I want to thank all of you that had submitted entries. A couple of odd ones on here. I had to actually go look and see if these were actually charities that were legitimate. Everything seemed to. I had a couple that actually weren't. So apologize if yours did not get in the list. But we're going to give $500 to the American Red Cross. And I don't know if I can name who it's for. We'll see if we can do that. But I want to thank all of you for sending in your submissions. Let's go ahead and get into the actual audio comment. And I guess, let me credit who suggested this. Let me back up. It was Wendy. Wendy had made the suggestion on this, and thank you for your suggestion, Wendy. Definitely appreciate it. It was a great idea, and hopefully everyone wins here. And they're, you know, American Red Cross, you can't go wrong with them for a charity. They do a lot of great things. And but anyway, let's go ahead and play the first audio comment that came in. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline. It's 619-342-7365. Here's the first audio comment.
Hey, Todd, it's Susabel in St. Louis.
Hey, Susabel.
Just calling about the AdBlock Plus thing again. I think there can be more discussion about it, but the biggest value to me is the fact that I don't see any of those dancing aliens, clowns, people, silhouettes of dancers doing line dances for the mortgage ads.
Well, I haven't seen those.
See anything that flashes. Anything that moves, anything that is extremely loud and garish, no banner ads show up. And, yes, it does kick off AdSense ads as well. It's not completely 100%. I still see some ads sometimes, but what it does do is it kicks out all those ones that just are really annoying. And I appreciate that, for one, because I don't like things that flash at me and try to get me to pay attention. I'm certainly not going to apply for a mortgage online with some company I've never heard of. And the same thing, insurance quotes and all kinds of that other stuff. I have no problem with text ads, and if it was all just text ads like the newspaper is, I'm cool with that. I would read them and maybe click through, et cetera. But I think it's the ads that's annoying us. Oh, and you might want to know that also that AdBlocker Plus stops those pop-up on rollovers as well. So that would solve that little problem you've been having. It just keeps all that stuff from happening. One thing that really, really bugs me is the Walgreens ad where you're moving your mouse to get it out of the way of the text that you're reading, and yep, it mouses over the tiny little Walgreens ad, which then, of course, balloons into this page, full page of crap that I don't want to see. And I have to find the little close thing to make it go away. Very, very annoying. I don't need that getting in the way of what I'm trying to do online. So the AdBlock Plus, when I discovered that, I was very happy and can get through my day of reading the news and whatever else I want to do online without all the flashing and jumping and things popping up and blocking what I'm trying to see. So, you know, I can see how Google and some others are going to be upset about the fact that the ad blocker is blocking these things. But until people realize that the flashing ads don't really sell anything, they just annoy you, and change things to make them much more amenable to the reader, then I don't see it going away. So we'll see what happens. But I for one, am very appreciative to have such a plug-in for Firefox. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later. Hope you feel better. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you for commenting. And, great commentary. And, yes, I'm feeling better. Not completely 100%, but thanks for the comments. I'm going to have to check this out, I guess. I haven't, I just kind of deal with it. Of course, I go to a lot of tech sites, and really the only tech sites that drive me the most batty is Computer World, PC World. Those are the two that really have these annoying HP or different types of rollover type of ads. But everything else, I kind of just, I'm almost blinded by the, I'm just tunnel visioning on what I really want to see. And plus, I get most of my stuff via RSS as well. So that might be a way, if you're reading a lot of different sites, if the site doesn't have Real Simple Syndication, send a comment to them. Hey, how come you don't, get with the program? How come your site doesn't have RSS? How come I can't subscribe to your content? And at least the ads that are interstitialed within RSS on many different websites are not, they're not as annoying. At least not yet. Let's cross our fingers on that. All right, let's go ahead and get into the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd. Happy 300th show. I hope you have a good time doing the show and stuff.
Thanks.
But I just wanted to let you know, I'm sure you've heard, but they dropped the iPhone price, and I was just at the Apple store in Michigan here, and they had 4-gig iPhones for $299.
Did you get one?
They're just continuing the 4 gig, or $399 for the 8 gig, and you can just buy the iPhone and not activate it until you decide to unlock it or whatever you T-Mobile people like to do. Just thought that would be a good idea. Talk to you later. Congratulations.
Aloha, thanks.
On the 300. Bye.
I think we're gonna hold on the iPhone, as I said earlier in the show. I'm going to see how this iPod Touch works. And if it doesn't work out, I'll put the thing on eBay and I'll buy an iPhone. Probably, it's would have been a better idea to buy the iPhone. But at this point in the game, I think the iPod Touch will do what I want it to do. And because I don't know. We'll see. I have to see. And I think I actually listened to this next voicemail. It probably ties right into that. So let me go ahead and play that.
Aloha, Todd.
Aloha.
Randy.
Hey, Randy.
What is your fascination? I'm listening to your Monday show. It's Wednesday. Anyway, I'm trucking down the road. Easier for me to do a quick voicemail than send you off an email when I'm driving.
Oh, please don't do that.
Why the fascination with the cracked iPhone?
I'm a gadget freak.
Why not? You say your normal phone's just a normal phone. I've got kind of a basic LG phone myself. I've had for about 3 years, and every time I upgrade, I give it to my daughter. But I got Verizon here on the road. Seems to work okay for me. But another question, though, talking about phones. Do other people have Verizon, and do they have, dropped carriers every time they switch from Verizon in-network to out-of-network? I can't quite get an answer from other people. Also, if I do upgrade my phone, I want one where I can pull down Geek News Central as a podcast and listen to it going down the road on the truck. Is there a phone out there that will do that?
Nokia.
And better yet, is there one that has a charger that I can just set it on the dash and listen to it over the stereo and broadcast to the FM on the station, or do I have to plug in a jack? So, anyway... call the Geek Tech Phone Central here. I appreciate it. I hope you feel better, and I hope you had a good holiday. I was working. I'll take some time off following that weekend. So Anyway, you have a good one. Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
And Geek News Central is Noka Oi. Aloha.
Aloha. You know, I'm a gadget freak, you know, so I've been waiting, and, you know, it's just like everything else, you know, you just wait until you have an opportunity to use it the way you want to use it, and, you know, I still, we'll have to see what goes on. And so far as that drop carrier stuff go, you know, I think it happens with all carriers. You know, I'm on T-Mobile, and I come home from work, I'm on my wireless headset, and I always tell, I usually talk to my mom when I'm on my way home checking on her, and it's always, I say, okay, Mom, in about 15 seconds, I'm going to lose you, and I'll redial you. And she's, okay. And sometimes it lasts through the tower changeover, but most of the times in that spot, it drops. And once we get through that spot, then I'm good. But it just, I think most of these carriers have a problem changing towers. I really do. And when you're in that transition zone, I think they just have a problem hanging on. And I think it's common with all phones. So, you know, maybe someday, I'm not holding my breath here, we'll have, you know, our cell phones will be good as our landline phones and we won't lose connection like that. All right, folks, that wraps up show 300. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed the trip down, memory lane, and, we'll be back to, of course, a normal, I guess, you know, what is normal here? I'll be back to a regular show on Tuesday. And, yes, I don't know what I'm going to, I don't know if I'm going to record the show in the afternoons while the kids are still at work. Here's a real opportunity to not have to record at night. And that had an appeal when I did the last show when I wasn't sick, when I was able to do it during the day. I guess we'll have to just play it by ear. My honey has already said, honey, I have a lot of honey to-do lists for you, and primarily it's because we got to get ready to move. I've got to go through a garage closet that has probably 7 years worth of gadget stuff that I've, oh, I'll get to this later. I think I'm going to have, you know what I ought to do? Maybe I'll make the stuff available to you guys. Maybe I'll take a picture of all this stuff. I'll put some prices on it. I'll put a link up to it in one of the show notes, and I'll give you guys a shot at this first thing. Some of it I may just give away. If you're willing to pay shipping, I'll just send it to you. I got a lot of cool stuff. I collect a lot of stuff. Some of it may not be worth anything. If it isn't, if I can find a good home for it, I will. That I can't, I'll donate someplace. And I don't have anything. Any computers that I have is going to go to, they've got this program here where we can turn computers in for schools. Those are all going to go to schools. I have some extra PCs around here that are still good that I'm going to turn in. But a lot of honey to do, a lot of work to do, and a lot of shows to do. Hey, I can't do that two times in a row. But thanks, everyone. Thanks for being part of the family here, being part of the Hana. And it's a beautiful night in Honolulu. And I'm very upbeat and looking forward to the next 300 shows. And as always, stay subscribed, talk to people about the show, and definitely appreciate you being here. Until next time, take care and aloha.